But my subject is, as he said, expository preaching. You might wonder, okay, where is this guy going to get any more to talk about after he's talked about it for two other years? But there is plenty to talk about. And I've used this illustration before, and I want to use it again. You can change the world with expository preaching. We'll talk about what it is, and this is a hands-on one this time, trying to get the meat on the bones, if you will, for how to do it. But some of you remember we talked about John Calvin. Anybody hear of him? Has he ever influenced the world? He certainly has, hasn't he? Both religiously and otherwise. His influence has gone for centuries. It has gone on. But he almost exclusively taught expository sermons. Almost exclusively. Now, my information that I get for this, I get from the Protestant Reformed Theological Seminary's bulletins. I'm on their list for some reason, and I get it. And so I get my information from them about Calvin, because they're the professionals. But he delivered in a 15-year period over 2,000 expository sermons. Do the math. That's three a week. That's three a week. That's a lot of work. But he did it. Now, you would interrupt him occasionally for special sermons that had to be preached, something that had come up. We had to have a different type of sermon to cover it. But there was one time when he left town for 2 years for a problem that came up. And he was going through a certain book of the Bible, if I remember correctly, it was Peter. And when he came back, he picked up on the next passage. Continued his series. Now that's something, isn't it? But the people were there and they were ready. They were ready to continue on with their learning. Now, did he teach false doctrine? Oh, yes. And we today are trying to unreap what he has done, trying to get people with the truth. I gave a lot of examples before, but let me just give you two or three books that he did work from. The book of Genesis, he preached 123 different sermons. You say, that's not bad. You got 50 chapters. Now, how easy is Deuteronomy to preach from? He only preached 200 out of that book. 200. The book of Acts, 189. How about little Galatians? 43. Think about that. I went through myself, I'm going to jump clear to the end here, and went through what I think, if you really want people to grow, go to the general epistles. This is everyday living. This is down right on the ground where people live. You go through there, and I identified 127 different expository sermons in those seven books. Does that give you a year's worth, Ryan? Will that handle that for you? Do you have to worry about what verse to look up next time to get a header for your sermon? Not with that. I found 21 in James, 30 in 1 Peter, 16 in 2 Peter, 1 John 41, and so on. Up to 127 different sermons. So you're there. Now let me ask you a question. Can you deliver a better sermon or organize a sermon better than the Holy Spirit? Why not use him? He's got it. He's got the order. He's the one that's giving us all this information. Why not use him just like he has given it to us? There's no reason, is there? None that I know of. Let's go to the text. Okay. As I said about Calvin, yes, he taught false doctrine and he changed the world, even though it was through Calvinistic, as we say, glasses today. But my question again is, where would our people be in our congregations if you were feeding them directly from the Word sometime every week? I'm not saying all three times, but sometime every week, if you were teaching the text that exactly as it is, could you change this congregation? Could you change the individuals in it? You know you could. All right, let's put all of us together that are just here today, not those that have been here before today, but just us. Could we change the brotherhood?
Amen.
Could we?
Yes.
Yes. We could. Would that change the world?
Yes, sir.
Could we do a better job than Calvin?
Yes.
I believe we can. I believe we have the talent. You know, I went through a preacher school 40 years ago. And all I got was topicals. And I look back as I was preaching and going, evolving, if you will, in my work, I found out that I was all of a sudden preaching expository and didn't know it. I found the text a whole lot better than trying to sit down and find the subject.
It
really did. It was a whole lot easier. Okay, so are you preaching expositories now? I won't ask you to say yes or no, but think about it. Are you really preaching expositories where you pick a text and you, as the word says, expose it, lay it bare? Are you doing that regularly? I doubt if we are. I doubt very much if we are. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes discipline to do this kind of preaching. It really does. It takes a lot of effort to get it right and to follow the direction that the Spirit has given us. And we need not even try to do it unless we're willing to give that time and effort. Don't try to sloppy up what the Holy Spirit's done perfectly. Following. Are there some advantages to it? Absolutely. Many advantages. First of all, as I said before, we follow the Holy Spirit. He's the one that has directed us. It ensures that you have a better knowledge of the text. Now, if you've got a better knowledge, can you give it then to the congregation? Can you pass that knowledge on? Yes, you can. What happens now then? Does the knowledge of that within the congregation, is that going to change the way they approach the Lord, the way they approach the work of the church? Is that going to change? Yes, it is. It is going to change. They have a better grasp of it. You have a better grasp of it. It ensures, I'm going to say this, it ensures better attendance. Now you think about that for a minute. If you're teaching topical sermons, they're coming in just like they do on television. They're looking for a little short snippet and then move on. And do they really know the text? Do they really know the Bible? But if you're preaching expository and you've done it, say, for 3, 4, 5 years, are these people going to be bashful about their knowledge? Or are they going to have confidence in their knowledge of the Bible and then not bashful to talk to others about it? Well, if we just give them topic by topic by topic by topic and run from here to there, they go out and they're saying, what topic is this guy going to bring up? Can I remember that? You don't have that problem. Not at all. Is there a place for topical? Absolutely. Textuals? Absolutely. We need a mix. We've heard a lot about that word balance, haven't we, this week? But have you been keeping the balance? Have you had the expositories? Have you thrown into the mix? That's my job. See that you all do that more. Okay. It places the scriptures firmly in context. If you're doing topical sermons or even textuals, can they seem to be out of context with what else is going on in that particular book? Can't it? Is that going to happen with an expository if it's done properly? No. They're going to have the context. They're going to know why that happened. We've seen that illustrated this week. Guys say, hey, go back to the beginning of the chapter. Remember that?
Yeah.
We got the context. Would have that been easy enough to preach that sermon and not get back to that and know the context? Yeah. Do we need to know the context? Yes. Yes, we do. It saves you wandering around through the Bible, teaching from hither and yon. It gives you something to go on. If you're really working on expositories and you're doing your job right, you're not just planning for next Sunday, you're planning for next month.
Right.
And when next month then rolls around, you're not going to worry about what you're going to preach Sunday morning or Sunday night. You already know. And you're already prepared. And then if you all of a sudden have two funerals and a wedding that week, you're ready. Aren't you? Yeah. Just read through the text one more time, glance at your notes, and you're ready to go. If you've done your job. If you've done your exploring. If you looked into the text. It's all there. So you can cover the Bible, I think, much better than you can with textuals. Is there a problem in the congregation and you see it's there, and you know it's covered in the book of Galatians? Guess where you can go eventually. Do a little short series on the book of Galatians, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is exposing a problem in the congregation. And you're not looking down the throat of the people because it isn't your sermon. It's not yours. It's the Spirit's sermon. And He's talking to them. You're just delivering the message. Let's just hope they don't shoot the messenger. It does also remove temptation for us to take passages, as I said, out of context. Let me give you a couple examples. You might want to turn to James chapter 1 with me. If I remember correctly, Eddie, we looked at this once before when we were together. James chapter 1. Look at verses 18, 19, and 20. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. What's the subject here of this verse? The word, is it? All right. So he brought us forth by the word of truth that he might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Therefore, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear. What? The word of God. Slow to speak how? Against the word of God. And slow to wrath. Against what? Is this talking about relationships between brethren? Let's make sure. Read the next verse. And the next one. For the wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness what? Did he change the subject in the middle and talk about our relationship between each other, or is he still talking about the Word of God in between those verses? How many of us have taught this verse wrong? We have, haven't we? But when you look at the context, you come up with something different. Are you going to mishandle it if you've done your research in expository preaching? You're going to get it right. We looked at one, I think, earlier this week. Let's go to Matthew 16:18. Matthew 16:18. The Lord is speaking. 16:16. I can't count to 18. The Lord is speaking. He says, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What's the subject? Building the church? Is it?
Yes.
Okay. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against what?
The church.
The building of the church. He's going to go into the grave. Is it going to stop him from coming back, being resurrected, and establishing his church? Is this talking about the church lasting till the end of time? No. How many of us have preached that one wrong? We have, haven't we? See, those are just two quick examples of how we can mistreat the text. But if you're doing a good expository job, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that at all. Okay. After you establish this style, you will never again be looking for a quick sermon, because you will always be working somewhere in the text to get a sermon, and it will be three-fourths prepared for you. You won't have to worry about that. How many of us have looked at Friday and Saturday and said, oops, that terrible Sunday morning is coming around in a hurry, and you got to do something? If you're doing this job right, you've got no problem. You've got no problem. I'm on page 2 out of 8, and I've only got 20 minutes left. They have to hurry, aren't they? Okay, what are some of the advantages then? A lot of our brethren do bring their Bibles, do they not? With them? And once you get started in the sermon, have you noticed how fewer and fewer people are turning the pages? You've got the Bible sitting there. They're not really following you. But if you're doing a textual or an expository, where are they?
In the book.
They're on the text, aren't they? They're on the text. And we're going to jump ahead also. I had, when I was teaching, a student that all he wanted was to find the verses that would complement this one. All he wanted to do was preach and give all the references he could to every passage. Now, if you do this, and you're constantly referring to all these other passages, are the people going to understand at the end of the sermon what you had in mind?
Not really.
They're not going to, are they? So don't cram it full. Give good references. I'm not saying that. I'm saying just don't crowd it so that your people lose where you are. Keep them on point. Some people say it lacks variety. Really? Well, you're accusing the Holy Spirit of lacking variety.
That's right.
You're accusing Him, not you. Okay. Some people have very little care about receiving instruction in the Bible. If you don't believe it, tell me the difference between the number in Bible class and the hour following.
Yeah.
There's a difference, isn't there, generally? Smaller the congregation, the closer that gets. More apt they are to be there. But generally, people just do not want to have really Bible. They just kind of punch their ticket on Sunday. But you want to get them involved, and you want to get them involved with the text. We've trained ourselves and others so long with topical sermons that sometimes when you try this, some people are going to wonder, oh, where is he going? What's happening here? We haven't heard this from this guy before. Well, keep doing it. Because someday, if you switch back a lot, they're going to wonder what's wrong with you. I came here expecting to get the text, and I'm just getting a lot of fluff now. Not all talks, all these other sermons are not fluff. But this is the way our people think. This is the way they think. So, how to begin? Now we're getting down to the nuts and bolts. Well, possibly start with textuals. What's that? That's just taking a verse or a thought and developing it, right? It can be very close, can it not, to a topical? Very close. Lots of passages, if you just read it, give you 3 or 4 points, just glancing at it. Oh, we saw one here, what, with 9 the other day. Right. So start there possibly, and then develop it as you can. Learn to break down a passage into its manageable points. You're not going to be able to preach every point in the passage. You've got a passage you may want to preach on it 4 or 5 times throughout the year, but each time direct it at a different thought coming down through the passage that the Holy Spirit is doing. You're not going to be able to cover it all at one time. So narrow it down so that you can manage it. And if you can manage it, can the people then understand it better? Yes. Yes, they can. So get it under control. As I said before, again, and I'll say it over and over, great and easy. start with one or two and sprinkle them in a month, and then more and more as you become used to it as well. You're training yourself first, and then helping our brethren. Here's a big one. Do not announce your expository series in advance when you're first starting out. A lot of people are going to say, they're not used to this, and they're not going to be ready for it. So don't do that. Don't announce it way ahead of time, especially if it's going to be a long series. Don't do that at all. They just may turn you off just before you even get a chance to start. You will run into some resistance at first, but more and more people will begin to appreciate it and want more. You look back into your own life when you started studying, and you were really being fed good by whatever school or however you're learning. Didn't you want more and more and more? Well, are you a freak and different from the other people? No, they're like you. They also want more. Those people out there are starving, and they want the text. Let's give it to them. Let them have the text. So lead them gently into it. Break them in. They'll want them. They'll feel better about the Word. They won't be bashful about talking about the Word with others. We also have a lot of preachers who know the Bible really pretty well, until you get down to a passage and start breaking it down. They've memorized a lot of passages, things like this, but when it gets down to just saying, taking a paragraph, well, they'll have to think about that a while. If you've done this, like Calvin, for 20 years, are you going to know the text? Are you going to be able to discuss it? How about the folks you're teaching? They too will be able to do it. Well then, I warned Wayne this was coming. I told him I was going to ask him a couple of questions in this. And I promised him I wouldn't embarrass him. Did I not? What are you teaching on Wednesday nights?
First Peter.
What method are you using for a subject each Wednesday night?
We are taking a paragraph.
What do you say, folks?
Paragraph by paragraph.
Isn't that a thought, usually?
Yeah.
That's usually a thought, isn't it? Break it down into paragraphs. Okay. Well then, I've been watching you. Have you been excited?
Absolutely.
When you get in and you get going and that clock's about to run out, does it make you nervous?
It does.
Are you able to put the energy on it?
Absolutely.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, I'm out there in the pew and I can feel his energy. I can feel it. You suppose the other folks are going to feel the same way? He doesn't know it, but he's going through expositorily. Yeah, he does. The only difference between what he's doing and a regular expository sermon is that you don't have feedback, you don't have talkback. Now, can you take that and transfer it to the pulpit? Yeah. Are any of the rest of us going to as well? We need to. We really need to. So, did I embarrass you?
No, sir.
Okay. Wouldn't want to. But I didn't tell him what the questions were in advance because I didn't want it, you know, all packaged up nice and neat. I wanted it to flow smoothly. But I think those who are members of the congregation will agree when they've been there on Wednesday nights. This has been good. This has been excellent. As you built your messages, I'm not through with you yet. Do you constantly refer back to the beginning of that chapter or refer to the beginning of the book, constantly dragging us back into it? That's what you should do with an expository. You get your introduction in there, and your introduction does look forward to the message, does it not? But what else does it look forward to? Come on, you know what that outline is. What's at the end? Fine. Should your opening be looking to the conclusion? It should. And when you do this kind of teaching and this kind of preaching, you will do that. And then like he's doing it now, week by week, you have to keep referring back. Keep dragging their minds forward. And he's doing a good job. I'm proud of him. He hasn't heard me say that before. But I am. Not only do I love him, but I'm proud of him. He's been doing an excellent job. Okay, can you do that? Sure you can. Is it going to take some sweat? Yeah. It's also going to take a lot of research. Some of us don't have big libraries. But you dig into the text. Read the book constantly. I mean, read the book constantly. When I read through the Bible, and I'll come along to a text, and I'll look at it, and I'll say, well, why didn't he say that the first time I read it? You ever done that? Absolutely. And as you do this, all these things are to keep accumulating, so that when you go to do an expository sermon, what kind of a field have you got to draw from? It's all there. Things that you didn't think about before will match. And you can bring it in as illustrations. But don't use scripture only for illustrations. Use your life as well. There's a danger in that, as you know. When you use your life, use it in third person, most of it. Some of it you can use for yourself, and that's fine. People need to know you're a human being and you've had problems too. But don't do it too much. People are going to get the idea, well, he's just going to talk about himself. Don't do that. Okay. I'm scattering all over my notes because I know I don't have enough time to get everything in. Do not start out in the middle of Romans, Hebrews, Revelation, even Galatians. Why? You need a lot more background before you get to those passages, don't you? Are the people ready for it? More likely not. But you should do your research as if you had a classroom or an audience full of Bible scholars, so that you're prepared for that mind. And as you're preparing and you're looking at the text, say, what kind of questions are these folks going to ask me? What would they ask me if I was in a Bible class with these people who really know the Bible? Make sure you incorporate that into the sermon, the message, unless it gets you off track of your subject. Don't go wandering around everywhere. Don't let it get off track. But think, what are people going to ask about my points? About what I'm trying to get across that the Holy Spirit is speaking about. And cover them. You need to look at it from their point of view. And also, as I said before, look to the conclusion. Every sermon, you want the people to learn something and you want them to change something. Is that not right? You want them to change their lives. Let that be known as you go through. And tie it all together. Make sure you get it all tied together. Again, I've said it before, I've said it over and over. Sprinkle these in at first. And then build more and more. But brethren, do some. You're going to find it's work. But it's worth it. People will learn. And they'll come to expect these kinds of sermons. Read the text over and over and over and over. And when you get tired of that, then read the book over and over and over. Keep it all tied together. In your mind, tight, close, it fits a pattern, and preach that pattern. Preach it. When you do this, make sure you have all of the thoughts together that the Holy Spirit is trying to get from the beginning to the end. Think about all of them and how your points in this sermon are going to match what the Holy Spirit is doing. And you're not going to do that if you concentrate strictly on word studies. Now, I'm a guy that likes word studies. But I can get lost in those and miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to say in the whole passage. Can't we? Yes. Do both, but make sure you get the whole thought all the way through. And again, don't get so involved in the text that you want to preach the whole text with all of its points in one sermon. It's just too crowded. I've got one sermon that has 7 points in it, 7 major points. How much time do I have to put on each one? Not a whole lot. And it's a textual type sermon. So don't cram too much in. Do not crowd it with too many main points. People will wonder, what's he talking about? When you get too many points in there. They won't know where you're going or what you're trying to do with them. And they'll walk away confused. That's the last thing you want. People confused about what the scripture had to say. Also, be very careful when you're preaching. I don't care what type of sermon this is, but when you're preaching, don't just preach your favorite subjects. Those brethren may not like the same things you like. So make sure you catch them. Catch their likes and dislikes. But catch it all. And make your sermon a unit. Make it all come together. I talked about that. The opening, introduction should look forward to not just the text, but the conclusion. All right, if that's so, where should the conclusion draw its points from? From the introduction to? Yes. Make it a unit. Make it one bite that they can go home and chew on and then change their lives with. Make it a unit. Make it make sense to them. Refer back constantly to other lessons that you've had in your series. Your conclusion should always, always, always answer any questions that you brought up, especially in the introduction. Because in the introduction, you are asking questions, aren't you? But when you're in the main part, and this is another thing that Wayne does well, he asks questions about what's coming. Give them a little hint of what's coming, but ask a question. And they're going to be looking forward to the answer. How much better is it going to be implanted in their mind when they walk away? You've asked them, and they're waiting for the answer, and you give it to them. That should be any kind of sermon, shouldn't it? That's just universal. Okay, again, don't crowd too much in it. Make it a unit. Refer back, refer forward just as well. Make your points clear. I have as these two discs that are going around. You can get those, this, all my notes off of those, or I guess he's going to also...
It's on the website.
On the website. Okay, so you can get it there as well. I've given in there some examples on textual sermons, on short expository, on longer ones. I've given several of them. One that I like, the one I mentioned, is I ask people to turn to the Beatitudes. And I read them Revelation chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 3. And what's the first words? Blessed are. There are 7 of them. There's my 7-point outline. There are 7 of those in the book of Revelation. You've got a scoop to get through. But when you're through with it, in chapter 22, it says, do his commandments. Also in that chapter, it says you're going to be blessed if you keep the words of this prophecy. And the point then is, how are they going to know to obey in those things in Revelation if they haven't read it? Did you know there were commands in Revelation? How many times have you taught them? They need to be taught. They need to be taught. So there are examples in there. One of the places I said that you didn't want to start, of course, was like in Romans or something like that. But another place is the Psalms. Don't try to do expository on the Psalms to start with. After you get up to speed, then yes. The only exception I can think of very quickly is the very first Psalm. The righteous man. That makes a nice one. But be careful about using those kinds. And I gave you Psalm 1, I gave you an outline in there. I gave you an outline on 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. A 4-point sermon? Easy to do. Okay. My time is down to 1 minute. Brethren, if I don't do anything else, let me encourage you, please, please, please start using expository sermons. Grow yourself. Grow your brethren. We can change this congregation. If we can change the congregation, we can change the town. And if we all are doing this, we can change our states and we can change this nation. Does this change? This nation need changing? Topical preaching, I don't think, is going to make it because we're skipping from subject to subject to subject. Let's get the word preached, brethren, and preached expository, so the brethren learn the text, and they're not bashful. They'll go out and help others to come to the text as well. Thank you.